Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I know it might be cold outside, but inside we are feeling...
feeling hot, hot, hot.
Hot, hot, hot for episode 5 of Hot Guys on Hawkeye. And of course, Hawkeye this week is episode 5, Ronin. I am joined by Wesley Sykes, the Wax Suit Mafia.
Yeah, they might be the saving grace of this show through the last two episodes for me.
That little conversation in the truck about Run-DMC, about the Royal Tenenbaums, that was really fun.
That was a good time. Yeah. That was a good fun there. Yeah, I liked that a lot. This episode, again, I liked it, but not as much as the previous episodes by any means. You know, this is my lowest rated episode.
I think it is right on par with episode 4, and this is kind of a cop-out, but much like with the other episode 5s or the other penultimate episodes, you almost need to see what happens in the season finale, or in this case, the series finale, because this is a mini-series of, where does it go from here? Because this is a cliffhanger. This is the first true cliffhanger that we're going off of leading into this final episode. By the way, spoilers!
Yes,
we get Kingpin.
Spoilers.
Kingpin.
Yeah, and again, we were told, I'm not sure who, so I apologize for that, but we were told that this episode was going to break the internet this
I hate
week
that.
Leading
yes.
up to it, and,
yes.
and we're both in agreement on that, and I just wish they would get away from it, because what we ended up getting with the reveal of Kingpin was more telling of a conversation. You know what I mean? It was like a very meta move they did there, showing having a conversation of a text within a picture of a video.
Right, and it's also something that we all saw coming, because they've been talking about Daredevil, Matt Murdock, Charlie Cox. Vincent D'Onofrio has been tweeting about this for, months now? So we saw it coming.
Tease.
We saw the hand. We saw the heavy breathing. We knew that Kingpin was coming. I don't know what else in this episode would break the internet outside of that one reveal in quotes.
Yeah, and I guess, more Yelena Belova, and of course the interaction and kind of back and forth conversation, albeit between her and Kate. You know, I thought that was fun, but certainly not, breaking the internet.
Right, and I do want either in a series, I think it will be in a series, but I want those two to be teamed up. I think they are the perfect, and we've already seen it in this show, where like her and Clint are a great buddy cop. I think those two might be the best buddy cop scenario with the newer characters moving forward.
Particularly with how Florence Pugh is able to kind of play the funny role, but also the straight man at the same time.
Whereas Kate is like wide-eyed optimism.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly here. Now, quick episode synopsis. Secrets are revealed. We already revealed those. And hard truths emerge, culminating in a battle against two opposing forces. Pretty ominous. You know, that is not really descriptive.
I'll tell you what, that doesn't really do anything for anybody.
No, it doesn't really give much away there. Of course, the new addition to the cast and crew is Vincent D'Onofrio. Of course, we didn't hear him or see him per se, playing the role of Wilson Fisk, a.k.a. Kingpin.
Which, cool, but I would have liked to have not seen him say something, but I would have liked to have heard him say something.
Yeah, and again, there was some speculation and rumors about the interwebs here saying that Wilson Fisk, they were going to put a fat suit on him, a la kind of Spider-Verse, and make him a little bit bigger than what he was in the Netflix Daredevil shows there. And that doesn't seem to be the case. He seems to be more of a real person.
Right, and I mean, the way that D'Onofrio played him in Daredevil is he carried himself real, real big, but he also played it big.
Right, and I don't think you need that large Dune, like, what was the guy? What was the bad guy in Dune? You know,
the Skarsgård,
Yeah, I don't think you need that level of fat in there to portray Wilson Fisk. This episode on IMDb, episode 5, has a 9.1 currently right now, which would be, again, the highest rated episode. We've seen that kind of recency bias.
Yeah.
Episode 4 drops down, I believe, 3 ticks from 8.6 to 8.3.
I see this going down to, like, an 8.5, 8.4.
Yeah. I think kind of like you said, along the lines of episode four there. I'm a little lower on this. I give it a 78 out of 100. This is, again, too much telling, not enough showing. There is a whole lot of conversation going on here. And again, just feels like more spinning of its wheels. I know I said we could probably condense this season down to five episodes. I think if you compact the best parts of four, the best parts of five together, make it a five episode season, that's probably the sweet spot right there.
I mean, I got it at about like an 8 out of 10, but this is really dependent on the final episode, because this is really just a tease up or a tee up what we get in that season finale. So we need to see what happens there to really know what we got in this past episode. But we also said that exact same thing about the Captain America boys, and the season finale didn't pay off.
Right, exactly. So it's still kind of up in the air right now, this Hail Mary pass in the fourth quarter. What do you say we get into the rundown here, Goo? Let's run it down.
Do it.
We get the cold open to 2018 with Yelena and another Black Widow who goes by the name of Sonya, trying to free what they think is a Black Widow under the guise of a powerful man, right? Like under the thumb, I should say.
Three things here. Number one, it is that they are trying to free other Black Widows. We got that in the Black Widow movie, but we get a little bit more with it there. We then see that she learns that she can do this for money.
Right.
Which is what she is doing in the future. Yes. And then also we see that she has been blipped.
And I thought that was awesome because we hadn't seen people getting blipped from the perspective of people getting blipped. So to have it kind of in real time from their perspective, I thought was really cool. I was confused. I was like, what's going on here? Is this going to go to like something cosmic and go out in left field? But I really liked the way they did that. That was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now you fast forward to the present day and you have Kate returning back from that three-way rooftop battle. To Eleanor, and they talk a little bit. They have a little bit of a conversation. Again, Eleanor, I don't know how many glasses of wine or Chardonnay she's deep in this one, but very lacks emotion.
Oh, shout out to the listeners for sending us those great Photoshops of the Eleanor poster that the MCU put out. And they're like, with the pills and the alcohol, that was really funny. Good job.
Sidetracked Entertainment and Snooze Bar. Yes, exactly. So shout out to them. I had a good laugh with that. But again, very lacking of emotion and just doesn't seem to care at all. And kind of reading the reception of this episode as we've prepared for this to record here, everyone's like, this is a real touching moment. And I'm not sure if I've seen any real touching moments from them. I don't buy it.
No, I don't buy it at all. Anything with her has just been... the scenes have just kind of felt empty.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good way of putting it. Kate tells Eleanor about their little internet sleuthing they're doing about Jack and running Sloan Limited. She's like, oh, thanks for that tip. Kate leaves to go grab her things from apartment. That's when we get maybe one of the high points of this episode, that meeting between Yelena and Kate in Kate's apartment.
Right, and it just shows like the irrelevant conversations that they can have. You have here Tarantino-like pointless conversation. Great way to put it. And we actually get a couple of those with different characters in this episode. But I feel like moving forward, you won't get, you know, Kate as taken aback as she is in this scene. But Yelena is the standout here.
Absolutely. And the stuff about macaroni and where to go on Christmas and everything like that.
Also putting hot sauce on it too. Oh, you aren't going to eat that? I can put hot sauce on it? Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Who doesn't love hot sauce? Right? I'm a big Frank Red Hot guy. Also, Sweet Baby Ray's makes a good buffalo sauce. I'll say that. But that aside, the stuff about the cutlery, too, I thought that was kind of nice. It went on a little too long for me. I'm like, all right, at a certain point, I'm like, cut the crap. Let's get
they had to fill 37 minutes.
Yeah, exactly here. But again, the crux of that conversation is Yelena saying Clint is the killer. Kate doesn't believe it. Yelena says, you know, Kate is kind of hero worshiping Clint. Yelena also says that she was hired, which is something to keep in mind later on. Kate says, check your sources. Maybe the person who hired you is telling you some bad information there. And all while this is happening, Clint goes to relax at Grill's place.
Which, the character's fine. I just don't want the LARPing characters anymore.
No, see, I think he's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I just don't want them to return to this, like, LARPing. Like, I hope they don't come out and help and, like, take down the Tracksuit Mafia 2 sort of thing. Like, just give them the suit and leave.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
No, you said that, and that's what's going to happen. Ooh, what happens if Grills gets killed?
Apparently, that's what happens in the comic books.
Oh, okay, well.
You know, that's...
I'd rather him than Hawkeye, so long and farewell.
We don't read.
No.
Meanwhile, while all these other conversations are being had, Maya Lopez, who's getting her injuries nursed by Kazi, they have a little heart-to-heart conversation, if you will. A whole lot of conversation, a lot of words, a lot of gum flapping.
Well, a lot of words and a lot of, I mean, it kind of foreshadows the conversation that they have later. And it really is, too. Kazi knows what happens to her father and is hiding it. And then later on, she's like, wait a second, why weren't you there?
Right. And then thinking back, once you know that conversation that Clint and Maya later have, yeah, you're like, all right, Kazi does kind of seem like manipulative in this. Like, don't go after it. You're playing your emotions and things like that. And that's kind of what Clint brings up there. So I think that's a good spot on his part. Again, another conversation of Clint calling Laura and asking permission to kick some ass and end this. Laura says something very interesting over the phone here. She says, you know, I'll understand more than anyone else. Something to that effect.
You mentioned that she might have been in S.H.I.E.L.D., but was she more involved than that?
Right. I mean, could she, like, I think rumor and speculations abound the interwebs say that she might be Ronin.
Ooh, I like that. I was going to maybe ask you, like, maybe she
was... I'm not sure if that works with the blip timeline.
Well, so I was going to ask you, like, maybe was she the former Maria Hill? Like, that was her job, and then Maria Hill took it over? Like, the secondhand man to Nick Fury?
So I believe now, after doing some digging here, I believe they might be kind of adopting a storyline from a character in the comic books named Bobby Morse, who was also a S.H.I.E.L.D. Maria Hill-like agent who was an on-again, off-again love flame of Clint Barton.
There we go. I didn't know anything about that, and that's what I read into it.
See, yes, but I think we were right around that, though, previously, you know, kind of as we were first kind of introduced to the Russian-speaking side of Laura.
That would also make sense to why she would like Natasha so much, and she would trust Natasha around her husband so much, is that she had worked with her so much in the past.
Yes, see, that's a good explanation, that I can live with that now. So now maybe, you know, Hawkeye isn't that bad of a guy after all.
Hawkeye was never a bad guy. You fucking take that back.
But what I think is interesting about this is he's asking for permission. We're assuming that he's about to go, you know, berserker mode back into Ronin there, right? He goes back to Grand Central Station where we see the memorial for the Avengers Tower, and he kind of has that conversation with Natasha, right?
Like, yeah.
At the grave sort of thing. And again, it seems like he's about to go to a dark place. He never really gets there, though.
But I really appreciate them not doing a ghost friend.
Oh, I like that. Like, kind of like in the like Black Panther sort of thing, right?
Right. But at least with Black Panther, they explain it. But like, and this is a different world, but like when Andrew Garfield talks with Dennis Leary's dead cop.
Right. Oh, right. Yes. Yeah. Ghost dads. Yeah.
Ghost
I got
dads.
You there.
Right.
Yep. That's good stuff. Yeah. But again, he doesn't really go there because we'll get to that in that fight a little bit later because, you know, as he's going to approach the fat guy now used car shit sales shop. Jeez. Car
shit.
Lot?
What, no, is used it? Car sales shit.
Yeah. Damn. I don't know. Anyway, Kate goes all crazy stage 5 Klinger like and leaves a bunch of messages on Clint's voicemail, which
she's already kind of teased.
Credence to my theory.
Which she's already kind of teased in episode 2, I believe, or episode, no, it was 2, when she called him several times and he finally answered, or the Tracksuit Mafia answered.
Right, and she has this access to all the security stuff anyway, so she could have just tracked him down.
Mm-hmm. Well, she just wanted to hear his voice.
Yeah, hey, I can't blame him. Can't blame her. Okay, so we have this meetup at the fat guy's used tire spot, and Clint goes to fight Maya and company. He tells her that Kingpin called for her father to be murdered and there was an informant involved. We think maybe that's Kazi. All this is kind of, heard part and parcel, right? It's all kind of heard in like snippets because I'm not sure how good of a sign language Clint is, right? It seems like it's a
lot. Well, I think he was more, he was slowly speaking so that she could read his lips.
Okay.
Because she is an expert lip reader. So I think he knows this and he was doing it deliberately to do that.
I see. I thought we were just getting like bits and pieces of it. That makes sense, though. I get that. So that's kind of interesting. Again, planting the seed for Maya Lopez Echo to become a good guy, right? And kind of turn sides here. We get Kate going home to see Jack being arrested after Eleanor calling the cops. My guy Jack Duquesne never worked a day in his life.
I loved Jack's response to this. I would have done the same thing.
Yeah. I read a book about it. I understand where you're coming from.
It was right of you to call the cops on me. I have some shady stuff in my background. I would have done the same thing.
This guy's amazing.
He is. He is.
He's just a real delight to this show. And then so we think, again, Eleanor's like, I found a scapegoat here to get my daughter off my tracks, right? And kind of like, I gotta cash this ticket while I have it sort of thing, right? Is that fair to say?
Pretty much. But we then find out.
Well, yeah, Kate and Clint. Well, yeah. So we find out that Jack's been framed, and Kate and Clint retreat back to Grills's place to have a little bit of a, regrouping.
Just play with the dog.
Debriefing.
Yeah, play with the dog.
Play with the dog. Yeah, get the dog some exercise when Kate gets this text message from Yelena, who's been trailing Eleanor, and it's her and the Kingpin.
Do you like the text reveal with the photo, or would you have just liked to have seen Eleanor walk into a room and then Kingpin slowly turn his chair around?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's stereotypical of like what these shows are. That's formulaic, but that's already what these shows already kind of are. We've had the same cycle of what these shows are for the past four of meet the hero, smaller bad guy, bigger bad guy in the background. We meet them by the end of episode four or five, and that's what we're doing here. So the text photo is kind of stupid.
Yeah, I hate it. And again, I think even the Jack Duquesne getting arrested thing, again, a little bit more of an instance of that whole scene. They're kind of telling you what's happening as it's happening. You know, it's like, yeah. I'm not a little clunky on that one. Again, a little sloppy on the landing here as well, but some fun to be had. And if you look at it from the perspective of this kind of setting up episode six, I can live with that. As a standalone, I'm not. And they all
about us. We'll eventually learn our timing.
Yes, yeah, we'll get that down there. Again, whose watch is it? Do we get any further clues, tidbits?
Laura seems really into it.
Yeah. Now, did she gift it? Is it hers?
I'm definitely with you now that it's not Tony's. So I do think it has something to do with Laura, and I think that Laura was a deep informant in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, I like that. And then it's something to do with the identity that Nick Fury kind of helped to tie away. Okay, I like that. Again, building off that, who is Laura Barton? We've already addressed this question to some degree, but maybe it's the Bobby Moore's Mockingbird storyline from the comics. That's kind of adapted there. It has some sort of a relationship there. We like to see the MCU. They kind of, you know, adapt and tweak and everything like that there. So I could see that happening. Who do you think killed Maya's father?
Elektra.
Elektra. Ooh, with a sword.
Sword. She's a bit of a swordsman herself. She usually uses like a dagger, but maybe she used a sword this time. I know the easy answer is that Hawkeye did it, but I'm going to say, because Kingpin is in here and there's so much chatter and hibbity-bibbop of all this Daredevil stuff, I'm going to say Elektra.
I like that. And maybe that sets up the villain for Echo.
I'm in.
And then like them trying to catch up. Yeah, that's her trying to catch, play a cat and mouse game with Elektra. I like that. I'm going with that. I like that a lot.
But who killed Armand III? It would not be Elektra, because I think she's not dead. Because I think she was dead, but they saved her body or something. A lot of Daredevil's a little bit fuzzy to me right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, they could do whatever they really want, though. I'm not sure if that's canon necessarily, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, bringing the characters over. How does Madame Hydra / Val tie into Eleanor hiring Yelena, if at all?
So is she the in-between of Kingpin, maybe?
Val?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, I could see that there. Or maybe, yeah, maybe some sort of equal footings co-CEO.
Like Val has like her stable of stars, and you got to go to her to hire one of them.
Right. And sometimes she'll throw an extra one in for free, right?
Right. And they do hit.
Yeah. What's Eleanor's deal? What's her motive here? Why is she, teaming up with Fisk?
I have no idea what her deal is, nor do I really care that much, but I guess we need to know the answer.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that part. I don't really care, but I gave this a little bit of thought here, right? So they built up her trying to say that she's going to be the one protecting Kate Bishop, right? And that's something that they kind of all tie into. The father said it. She says it to Kate. Kate says it back to her. So what if her way of running the security business, she's like, all right, I got to make sure that I'm protected by everyone involved, make sure I have money. I got to, you know, hide, launder money, whatever, protect Kingpin, work with him to make sure I'm protected from the worst guy.
All right.
Right, yeah.
I mean, like I just told you, she's very uninteresting.
Which Sex and the City character is Yelena?
Hopefully it's not the one that dies on the Peloton.
Oh, am I right? Oh, yeah. that's a topical joke there. I like that. Christmas goo from the top rope. I think maybe Carrie. She's good at a monologue.
Okay. What about the brunette? No, you know what? Name? I think Kate's more like the brunette one. Charlotte? Mm.
Charlotte, there we go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Favorite tracksuit?
Like color or from the Mafia?
or just no, just in general, just red. In life, you know?
Red.
Just red dress. Yeah. Okay.
Red pops.
All right. I might have said like the Beastie Boys from one of their albums, like when they rocked that. I thought that was pretty good. But red,
LL
red
Cool
is a
J.
Good answer too.
There we go.
Yo, you saw that Easter egg?
Actually seeing the blip from the blip's point of view. I thought that was cool. That was a little bit of a nice Easter egg there. Perhaps the biggest one of all, the quote unquote new and improved Statue of Liberty that Yelena mentions to Kate. You may know this more than I do, Goose. I'll give this to you.
Well, we've seen it in a trailer. I refuse to talk about the actual movie, but we do see in a trailer at one point that the Statue of Liberty is holding a Captain America shield.
So very cool. So new and improved there. I love that. So something to keep your eyes on when you go into the theaters.
Some might
say
that the old one was just fine on its own.
I might say that, but you know, some might say that it was a Trojan horse for the French. So, you know, you got to be careful there. The Battle of New York Memorial outside of the Grand Central Station with the original 2012 Avengers. Pretty cool. Yelena says she loves American Christmas. Perhaps a nod to her life as a lie, living the American life.
I like that, actually. Yeah, her like two or three Christmases.
Anna, the former Black Widow, says she adopts, again, a nod to her time as a Black Widow who cannot give birth before proceeding forward as a Black Widow.
Yeah, I like that too. I liked her story in general. It was very nice.
I was very thrown by her. I was like, should I know who she is? Because they did a lot of close-ups on her face. I'm like, what's going on here? But it doesn't seem to be too much of a key player.
Right. So we are lining ourselves up for episode 6 next week, the season finale. I thought this episode was fine. It was pretty much on par with episode 4. It was not the big revelation or internet-breaking thing that some people teased. But as a setup to the season finale, we still need to see what happens on the season finale. Because if that one falls flat, then this show in general will fall flat, giving us a really uneven season. But I'm really interested to see where it goes from here. Especially because I don't know how long the last episode will be, but if it's 45 minutes, lot to get in there.
Lot to pack in. I like it. Episode 6, linchpin of the series. I'm here for it. Give me more Jack Duquesne. I want more of him here.
There's not enough time. There's not enough time for Jack Duquesne anymore.
Give me the house of Jack Duquesne. That's what I want to see.
Just like the House of Armand?
Yeah, or I was going to say House of Agatha, but yeah, it all works.
All right, guys, so that'll do it for this week of Hot Guys on Hawkeye. Check us out next week.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.